Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 3, starting with the first verse. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' He said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?' The man said, 'The woman whom you gave to me gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate.' Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' The woman replied, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.' The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.' To the woman he said, 'I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you.' And to Adam he said, 'Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return.' The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read with me the catechetical review found in your bulletin on the sixth petition. "And lead us not into temptation." What does this mean? God tempts no one. We pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. The epistle reading this morning is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, starting with the 14th verse. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite those who are able to do so to rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel, according to Matthew, the 4th chapter, beginning with the 1st verse. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated.
Good morning. Guten Morgen. That's for all my German-speaking friends. How are you guys doing this morning? It's really great to see all of you. Look at you guys. Do you see what I have here this morning? What is it? The snake, right? Is that a snake? Yeah. So in the Old Testament reading today, we heard this story. We heard the story of Adam and Eve, and of Eve being tempted, and she was tempted by this snake. The devil came to her in the form of a snake. And he tempted her, and he told her to take a bite of this special tree that was in the garden. And Eve knew that she wasn't supposed to take from that because God had commanded them not to do it. But the devil convinced her to do it. And you know how he did that? Yeah. He said, "Did God really say that? Did he really mean that? Did he really, really mean what he said? He just knows that you're going to be like him if you take a bite of that." Let me hold on to my snake.
What do you do?
Well, you kind of... It's just a toy, yeah, yeah. It's not a real snake, yeah. So the devil came to them in the form of a snake and tempted them, and then because of that, and Eve took the bite of this fruit from the tree, and we heard that, and because of that, mankind fell. That means that sin came into the world, okay, and because of that, we were talking about this just a few days ago on Ash Wednesday, that because of that, then we faced death because of that. It wasn't supposed to be that way. But the devil still tries to tempt us today in a lot of ways. He tries to do that, and he tries to get you to not do the things that you're supposed to do. Okay? Like things that we talk about, like when mom and dad tell you to clean up your room and you say, "No, I'm not going to do that right now." And you don't listen and you don't obey, right? And that's a sin because you just broke the fourth commandment when you do that, all right? But here's the thing, guys. Satan has already been defeated because of what Jesus did for us on his cross, because he died and he rose again. Satan has no power, he has no authority over you and me. And you guys can all be assured of that because of the waters of your baptism. You know there that when you were baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, it was there in those waters that all of your sins were drowned and destroyed. And Jesus, because of that, we're connected to his cross. So even though we're tempted, and even when we're tempted and then we give in to sin, we know that if we repent, that God is going to forgive us of our sins every time. He never stops forgiving us. He loves you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for your sins, and he'll never stop forgiving you. All right? Let's pray together, shall we? Jesus, we give you thanks for dying on the cross for our sins, so that we could have forgiveness of our sins. And in our baptisms, we know that we're forgiven and that we belong to you. And you will never leave us nor forsake us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, thanks. Please stand as we make bold confession of our Christian faith found in the words of the Nicene Creed on the inside of the back cover of your hymnal. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church, acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
Sing to you. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, we can go home because Vicar said it all. But I think I'll speak anyway. Because I want to introduce to you an American musician. He's a singer. He's a songwriter. He performs on the stage. He records albums. And of course, everyone is familiar with the name Tom Waits. No? With three possible exceptions. If you've heard of Tom Waits, you are in a distinct minority. Waits never broke through like a Streisand or... any of the musicians that you know. And the reason he didn't is he's got a tenor voice that sounds like he's eating gravel. His voice is terrible. It makes fingernails on a chalkboard sound good. But one of the reasons that he never broke through was that he wrote more often than not to the underbelly of society. His music is dark. It's uncomfortable to listen to. You know, his voice aside, just the content of his writing is very dark. It's very uncomfortable. In 1987, he released an album called Frank's Wild Years. On about the third or fourth cut on the first side of that album, we find a song called Temptation. And it really takes us to task. If that doesn't speak to the state of man today, then you're probably not listening closely enough. You've heard this before. If you're any NCIS fans in here, yeah, well, in the sixth season, the writers, for some reason, had Cody DiPaolo do a video of this. I thought about using it this morning as an example, but it's X-rated, so I decided maybe I shouldn't do that. But the first verse that she sings that Waits wrote, "Rusted brandy in a diamond glass. Everything is made from dreams. Time is made from honey, slow and sweet. Only the fools know what it means." Well, rusted brandy is the cheapest, rawest, crudest brandy that you can buy. But it really looks good in a diamond glass. And just that line alone takes us back to the garden. We're going to be the proverbial fly on the wall this morning. Because isn't that what our first parents found? You see, it took them a while, but they came to realize that the temptation that Satan offered Eve and Adam was a lie. It was a lie. It looked good in that diamond glass, but the contents were rusted brandy. Rusted brandy. But it took time. It took time for them to realize, albeit a very short amount of time, but it took time for them to realize that although the fruit was sweet, it flowed like honey. It was a lie. It was a lie. And by the time they figured it out, it was too late to undo the damage. Too late. Thus we have that final line, "Only the fools know what it means." They were foolish to allow themselves to be tempted. And it was only after being confronted with God and being expelled from the garden with an armed guard at the door so they couldn't come back, did they realize the foolishness of succumbing to the temptation. And isn't that us? Isn't that us? No, I don't want an answer. You know the answer to that. But isn't that us? We see something that it looks really good on the outside. But when we have time to look inside, when we have time to live with our response to the temptation, we find that it's corrupt. It's corrupt. It's all a lie. It's all a lie. I've been in this business long enough to know that. All you have to do is have a young lady come in tears because her husband had succumbed to a temptation outside of the marriage. And to see her wrestle with that and to see her understand what his foolishness means to her, and if children are involved, her children. And eventually, whether the straying spouse wants to admit it or not, it catches up with him also. More than one young man I've met looked back and he says, "What have I done? I've lost everything. I am a fool." And I know what succumbing to the temptation means. See, Waits had it right. He had it right. And you know the story. We read it this morning. Vicar, soon to be pastor, read it again with the children. God creates perfection. And along comes Satan and he ruins it. And he misquotes the words of God. And Eve, seeing that forbidden fruit in that diamond glass, eats it. And then she gives it to her husband. And here's the part I really like. God comes and he confronts him. And I'm going to turn the order around because it makes a better story. But he looks at Eve and he says, "What have you done?" And she says, "It's not my fault. It's the serpent's fault." Yeah, he stuffed the forbidden fruit down your throat. And then here comes the part I like best. He goes over, and "Adam, what have you done?" And he says, "Not my fault. It's her. You gave her to me, so it's your fault that I sinned." Isn't that like us? Isn't that like us? We'll blame anybody or anything to get out of the responsibility of being accountable for what we've done. But that only lasts so long. Eventually, you have to come to grips with what you've done. But then we get to verse 2. "Oh, temptation, I can't resist. Yes, I know that it is done smoked. Yes, I lost myself. He knows I'm broke, but it's up to me to play." Again, a doorway. This time, into the temptation of Jesus. I can't resist. Knock, 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 but pardon me, you can. You can. And Jesus shows us how. Three temptations, every one of which he answers with faith in God and trust in God's word. He knows God's word, and that is why it is so important that you spend time with God's word, so that when you're tempted, you know the best response, the only response. And again, I love the part where, you know, Satan says, "Well, jump off the roof, and the angels will be there." And he quotes God, but he misquotes him. He leaves out a part of it that says, "Well, you know, the angels are going to keep you from hurting yourself." It's not what God says in Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. Like he did with Eve, and like he does with us, he changes God's word so that on the surface, that diamond glass seems like it's okay to to take a contents, to succumb to temptation. It's okay. God says it's okay. Well, pardon me, but God doesn't say that. You need to know what God has to say. And then we get to the question, really the crux of where we are today. And you ask the question, well, we know what happened in the garden and we know what happened with Jesus, but what about us today? What about us today? Are these just stories to make us feel good? And the answer to that is absolutely not. They are narratives to focus you, to allow you to come to grips with where you are. And you will be tempted. I don't know anybody in this sanctuary that hasn't been or won't be. Maybe my little blonde-headed friend over here hasn't been yet, but her day's coming. I don't want to ruin your day, but, you know, then we lose our way. We become lost. What was once important and the focus of our lives now becomes, well, where's God? Where's God? We're lost. Some of us stay lost for a lot of years. And how sad that is, because we needn't be that way. Needn't be that way. You know, we get into verse 3. I cannot resist. Dutch pink and Italian blue, he is there, oh, waiting for you. My will has disappeared, and now confusion is oh so clear. Waits lyrics may make you uncomfortable, but they speak to the very heart of the matter of what we face. But so does the Word of God. So does the Word of God. We know better. We know better. But we seem to be unable or unwilling to resist the temptation. That's just life. And we fall into the trap of the promise of what the temptation promises us. But then that begs the question, well, if we succumb to temptation, if we sin, and let's call sin what it is, if we are disobedient to God's commandment to us, is it over for you? Is it? And the answer is no, it needn't be. When we finally come to grips with what we've done, and we fall on our knees in humility, crying for God for forgiveness. This is where the great glory of this story comes to a sharp focus. You know, we're forgiven not because we finally woken up and we say, oh yeah, I did that, man. Was I ever a fool to use Waite's word? Was I ever a fool to be disobedient? Was I ever a fool to even fall for that temptation, let alone wallow in it for a while? We're not finished. God's not finished with us at this point. When we're led by the Holy Spirit to confess our sin, we know, because God promises us that for the sake of what His Son did on that Easter cross, we're forgiven. We're forgiven. Think about that for a minute. What does it mean to be forgiven? It means to treat the person as if the sin had never happened. Never happened. had a young couple in my office many years ago, and we were working through some marital issues, and I look over at her and says, "Have you forgiven him for what he did?" And she says, "Oh yes, Pastor, I forgive him." And then not 5 minutes later, I hear, "But on October the 30th, 1945, you did..." You know, forgiveness? I don't think so. I don't think so. God treats you as if you had never sinned. All not because you're such a great person. Boy, if that were the case, I'd be dressed in rags instead of an alb. But because of what your Lord and your Savior did on that cross, on that Easter cross, you are forgiven. We sometimes blow that off, but that is the great gift that God has given you. That is the point of the lessons today, because we heard that in the passage from Hebrews. But is God finished with you at that point? Well, your sin's probably going to generate some excess baggage that you're going to carry around. But here's another part, the beautiful part of the story. You don't have to carry that baggage by yourself. The Holy Spirit is there to walk with you. You are not alone. Let me repeat that. You are not alone. You are a child of the Father, a beloved child of the Father, a child that is unconditionally loved by the Father, and He will not let you walk through this baggage that you've created. You're still going to have to deal with it. But you deal with it from a different vantage point. There's one other part of this that we don't get into very often. But just as God forgave you, you must have the willingness and the ability to forgive those who have trespassed against you. What a great gift that is to be able to look at somebody and I say, "I know you did that, but I truly forgive you." I'm going to leave it there. Let you wrestle with, if you wish, with what I've said. Because it's not what I've said, it's what God has told you. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for that Easter cross. We're thankful that we are your children, that you love us unconditionally, and when we stray, you leave the 99 and you come and you rescue us. How can we say thank you? In Jesus' name, amen.